The next person was Julie. Before Julie says anything, two people have kind of suggested, I think, that somehow we're going to give weight, some sort of weight, to those who give examples. My question is, do we insist, or do we say to people, we highly recommend that you give examples?
Can I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead, Jane.
The factor you're dealing with here that is hard to even out is motivation. Some people are going to be motivated by which team they're on or their personal experiences with someone, whether their show was canceled or, you know, whatever the thing may be. We don't want to tilt at windmills too much trying to even this out. Ultimately, it's not possible to even it out completely. And, I think you can give equal weight to long answer form and quantitative answer form. And, everybody can have their own judgment.
Has anybody in this group used an instrument where they somehow gave additional weight to people that gave examples?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
In business. And the ultimate criterion was money. Does this person or persons actually have a plus side in terms of the amount of cash they've earned for the business? That's the bottom line on it. And, yes, indeed, we use things like that for evaluations when I was working with a whole bunch of people 25 to 30 years ago.
So in other words, so when somebody was evaluating this person named Charlie, they said, well, Charlie was really the one that had the idea that made the money. In this example,
well,
like that?
Yeah, you're void. In the case of Pacifica, the transferability of it, I'm sorry to interrupt, is that, you're talking about how do we get out of this mess? Are we getting out of this mess or not? This financial mess, in a way that's sort of like in a way to evaluate, if you're in a regular operation or marketing operation in a corporation, it's based on how much money you're earning for the units. Now, in this situation, we're talking about how quickly are we getting out of this financial mess. And frankly, that's a legitimate way to evaluate everybody in the whole system in terms of how we're getting out of the financial debts we're in. And I think that's legitimate.
Okay. So one of the questions could be, how quickly is this person helping us get out of this mess? Okay. All right. The next person was Julie. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to elaborate on a little bit. I mean, Vanessa sort of already touched on this, that the way the rating system went for PFW was based on words. So like, from top to bottom, it was like outstanding, commendable, competent, needs improvement, something like that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then there was also a category that was, I'm unable to rate this person on this category because you maybe don't, you're not the kind of person who interacts with them on, if you don't do finances and the category was finances, if you're not part of a finance committee or whatever, you might not have any wherewithal to rate the person, right? So for that category, you would just say unable to assess, right? So that's one thing I wanted to share. And so, another thing I wanted to share is we could take kind of two approaches here. And I hear the concern over, how would we weight different people's responses? And I do believe that we want to strongly encourage people to not just give a rating in an area, but for that rating to be backed up by examples and stories and words, right? And so then here's how you can use all of that information. On the one hand, you can say, hey, we're just going to show the distribution of the people who rated the person in this category. We're just going to show the raw distribution, and then we're going to pick out the median, right? And to pick that example that we had before, you can show that information, but then you can sort of write the narrative, which is kind of the summary of the whole thing. And I think this is what Vanessa was talking about in terms of giving preference, if you will, or putting more weight on the people who wrote things, as opposed to just, you know, I spent 10 minutes on it by going through and in each of the 10 areas that we rated the person on, deciding whether they were outstanding, commendable, competent, blah, blah, right? If somebody just does that and they don't send anything else in, it's really hard to kind of give the person any feedback, right? But if you say, I gave someone, I don't know, a competent in this area, and it's because I thought they fell short on the blah, 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 right? You know, whatever that was, and explain why they fall short. You know, then what you've done is you've given somebody, you know, advice and constructive criticism for how to improve their future performance, right? And that's, after all, the whole point of the goal of, you know, performance ratings like this, is for people to be able to improve their performance, because that's to the betterment of Pacifica, right? So that's the sense in which those are the kinds of things that are going to, like, the committee is going to pick out and use those as kind of top line stories to say, you know, here's your overall feedback, Stephanie, but we want to highlight these couple of key critical things. And what would make something key and critical would be if it was an area that there was a lot of consensus around. I saw Stephanie do X in this situation, and blah, you know, whatever, right? And if a couple of people say that, well, then by gosh, that's a pattern, right? And so you want to call something like that out.
Okay.
And we can
so
get Cynthia Dobeck's help on this.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And I'm just going to make a notation. Okay, I'm going to say several people suggested examples are valuable, and obviously we're going to have to consult HR as to how to use that. Okay, we have two more people on the stack.
Ben,
yeah, Jim,
point of information, I think.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
So if you're going to put in your minutes that several people said comments are valuable, at least what I think I'm hearing, I know it's what I'm saying, is it's like it's more than valuable, it's like critical.
Critical.
If other people are not saying that, that's fine.
I'm going to put bold
words. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Agreed.
And I'm assuming that that HR is going to tell you whether this is possible and how to best use those kind of comments. Okay, we've got Beth, James, and then Jim Dingman. And then I want to make sure that we move on to the next one, because we've been speaking about on this topic about an hour. I have an elections meeting that starts in an hour and a half. And so I know this is very important, but at some point I want to just kind of have us sign off on this, on the steps in this process, and give it to a working group to report back to us to get that work started, and then have other people work on this other issue of doing the search for the CFO. So,
Chair, point of order, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's point of order. Somebody needs to work with Dingman and me on this committee. We need an odd number of people, maybe not odd people, but an odd number of people.
Yes. Well, I'm just letting people size this up and decide. We're going to ask officially in a minute. I've got two down, and we're going to move there in a minute. Okay, so the next two people are Beth, James, and then Jim. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I want to reiterate that both kinds of criteria have merit. They both have value. The objective questions, such as do they attend meetings? Always? Never? How often? That's, you can get a specific number on it, and you can check it against reality. You know, we know how often people show up. So that has value, but the subjective evaluation to the comments really do, for me, they carry a lot more weight, especially seeing how past such objective tools have been used within Pacifica, where I saw this kind of an instrument used in evaluating a personnel at KPFK within my term, where that checklist was treated more as a ballot, a popularity ballot, then as, because you could check a lot of it against objective reality. Do they or do they not attend meetings? And when someone says yes 100% when in fact they don't, you know you're not getting a realistic metric and that there's something else at play. So I do think it makes a big difference to know in people's own words what it is that they're valuing or discounting. And if there's any way we can proof these forms against that inclination to use them as ballots, I think that would be useful. Thank you.
What was that last suggestion? Repeat that.
That if there's, I don't know whether maybe HR has some suggestion as to how to word these things so to sort of guard against them being used purely as a popularity, as a ballot, a popularity contest for a given, because that, then you don't really have any realistic input on which to make a judgment other than that, you know.
Right. I'm going to include that in the comment that I have here. Consult with HR to avoid people gaming the responses.
Right.
So, James McNabb.
Let me just start by saying, before I rate anybody, I want to read all those comments that everybody else has made about any particular issue. I don't want to just be rating people and then have to rate, you know, based on my experience. I want to read what other people have said about their own experience before I rate them. And so, and this kind of goes back to the way evaluations are done at my lab. What you do is you have a, you get a list of names of people who have worked with the person. You ask them to write evaluations. Since you have multiple of these written comments, which you can then read through, plus you have your own experience with the person, and you synthesize those. And having that list of comments from, you know, outside people that have worked with them, but they're not directly connected financially to them, you know, is really helpful. You quote from that. You know, you say, oh, you know, and you can also easily say, okay, this is just a rant, or this person just wrote a cursory, you know, summary that they, you know, there's not much there. You can tell they really just didn't want to do it. And so you can kind of rate, you know, really understand what's going on. And in a way, I think that's we want something, you know, I like this idea of having written response, but I don't like that if somebody writes along, you know, written response along with their evaluation, that gets rated more, because typically in a lot of my experience is the people who like to write stuff are the people who have a, you know, an axe to grind often. And so why should we give somebody with an axe to grind, you know, more weight? And the rest of us can decide, you know, well, this person has an axe to grind, so I'm going to discount, you know, this evaluation. So in a way, it seems like it's a kind of it's a three-step process. One, we come up with a set of topics. It might be something like what Vanessa sent out, you know, for her evaluation tool. So you have some key, you know, areas that you ask. You ask everybody in this process to do this, but, you know, some of us might go out and ask people outside, you know, this who might have had more experience working with her and say, you know, can you give us what you think, you know, and it could be a verbal or written, you know, response. But that all that stuff should come back to the whole group so we can all read these comments. And
I'm a little bit, let me see if I can get this clarified. I thought we were going to give this document to the 22 PNB directors, to the GMs and the IGMs, to the PDs, to the corporate council, to the affiliate director, the archives director, and the NETA's CFO. And they all rate the performance, and then someone has to collate it. Now, are you suggesting, no, James, that the people, that everybody else evaluate and give it to the PNB directors? And we take all of their comments before we give our evaluation?
That's what I think we should be doing. I think we should ask everybody, including PNB directors, can give their personal evaluation. But once those are written, you know, people have written those comments, we read them
and we say, okay, this person's an expert, this person's making a really good point. And then once we've read them, we can, you know, from that information, you can make a good evaluation of, you know, of the person's performance. Now, there still may be somebody that is on the PNB that has an axe to grind and, you know, may, you know, do that, but then that's why you use a median.
Okay,
and so
I would like...
All of us have a lot of information now to make that rating, and we're the ones responsible for that rating. The GMs aren't responsible for that rating, so their vote in the rating shouldn't come into it.
Uh-huh. Well, the challenge is that we're not just one person reading other people's evaluations, but we're 22 people reading their evaluations, and then we're evaluating, again, based upon those evaluations and additional personal evaluations. And so I guess I want to know from this group what you think. So let me just poll. The first one is, are we going to everybody evaluate together? That's the first option. And the other one is the GMs, the IGMs, the PDs, the council, the affiliate, the archives, and the NETA CFO, they evaluate, then it goes to the PNB. So,
Vanessa,
yeah, go ahead, Vanessa. Wait a minute. It's Jim's turn, and then you, Vanessa.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jim.
Let Vanessa go. Go on. I'll come after her.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, so one of the decisions that we made at PFW was for the evaluation committee to be the only ones who see the raw data, because we want people to be able to make honest comments. And so if they have been guaranteed some measure of, and we don't know who's saying what, there's a mechanism so that they're not identifying themselves. They can say whatever they want to say, whatever that may be. So ultimately we could, I mean, if we were being devious and deceptive, we could go back and figure out who it was, but we wanted to assure respondents that they could be as honest as they want to be. So we're trying to, you know, guarantee their anonymity.
And what did HR say about that?
Honestly, I don't know. It was either Dennis or Kathleen who checked with HR. We showed the tool. I honestly don't know if we went back to HR and said, hey, this is the way we plan to do this. We wanted, you know, for people to feel that their comments are being held in, you know, in absolute confidence. I honestly don't know if we did that. I know we showed her the tool and she approved
right.
the tool, but beyond
so
that,
you've got
I'm not
the
sure.
five people that are on your committee, and they're collecting the raw data from your 24 LSB members and your staff and any other people that are evaluating the general manager, for example.
It hasn't gotten to the LSB yet. Right now, it's just the programmers, I believe. And, you know, like Julie said, depending whether it's the GM or the PD, there's like, a different set of people who are going to receive it. But at this point, it's at the programmer level for both the GM and the PD. It's not yet gone to the LSB.
The point of the matter is you're not letting the LSB read all the evaluations by the programmers, for example.
Exactly.
It's the five people that are going to take all the information from the
LSB
and all the information from the programmers, and it's the five people that are collating it.
That's the way we're doing it. That may not work for the PNB, but that's the way we're doing it.
Well, do you want to comment on whether this group of 10 people should be the ones that see all of the material and that it doesn't go to the PNB and the PNB sees the comments of all these other people?
If this committee decides that they want to adopt that process, then yes, this would be the committee. Unless this committee wants to designate a subcommittee, a sub-subcommittee, you know, to be the one to do that. But, you know, some confined number of people would be looking at the raw data and presenting it in some form or fashion that the entire group agrees is the way we're going to, that it's going to be presented.
Well, I guess I want to hear some more thoughts of, before we kind of take a vote as to whether everything's going to be seen by the 22 directors and
that's
then tallied, or
you
and
can
the
add
directors.
You to
and just okay, I've got you. I've got you, Beth.
Thank you.
So we got Jim, then Beth. But I'm trying to get some pros and cons as to whether this group is going to give everything to the PNB, and then the PNB evaluate, and then this group does the final report, or whether the evaluation is done with the PNB and the GMs, the IGMs, the PDs, the council, the affiliates, and the CFO, and then we take it and create the report. So those are the two options. So let's go with Jim Ding. Anyone else want to speak after Beth? Okay, Jim Dingman.
All right, well, obviously this is going to be an evolving process. We're not going to put our critical thinking caps aside. I'm in favor of as much honest opinion from all sorts of sources. I'd like to hear from listener members, too. I agree. I want to read all that stuff. And I'd want to keep in mind that, you know, people have clashing visions about what they think Pacifica should be and do right now, which tailors their perceptions of people who are in management positions. And I'd want to get all those kind of different opinions into the mix so I could, you know, because one can use their, again, critical thinking caps to sort of figure out and discern what those distinctions are. Usually Pacifica has this attitude, which to me is always amusing because it's sort of a traditional, the buck stops here approach, regarding management. And it's, you know, what this PD does or what this GM does, sort of very individualistic, almost like an Ayn Rand approach. And, juxtaposed, of course, with the actual reality of what goes on at the different stations where groups of different people will, control or argue for their agendas to be, put forth into the programming, and hence nothing happens. So that I want to keep in mind. Another thing I want to keep in mind is if we're evaluating somebody, we've had literally, one resolution passed or motion passed in the national board level for years, in terms of evaluating program, in terms of figuring out some way to refresh and, make more timely the kind of content we're offering, and nothing's been done about that. And am I going to blame,
okay, let's stay on the topic here, okay?
No, these are on the topic. This is how you evaluate somebody. The question, you know, what is going to be the content, what is going to be the result of the, you know, changes that we need to do, and how's Stephanie writing that? That to me is very important because of the critical situation we're in right now fiscally.
Well, that might have to be one or more of the questions related to that. Okay, but I would like to maybe figure this out as to whether we're going to take evaluations and give that raw data to the directors, and then they evaluate and this group tallies and creates the report, or whether this group makes the report from the PNB directors and all of the other players. So anybody want to comment on this before we kind of vote?
You have me on the stack yet, right?
Go ahead, Beth. Yeah, you're next.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to comment on that exactly. Yes, the process that Vanessa described is consistent with other evaluation processes I've been involved with, both within Pacifica and elsewhere. That element of confidentiality is crucial. If you want people to speak candidly, they need to know that there won't be repercussions from that. And the only way to assure that is through confidentiality. And that's one of the reasons that this is done within a committee. The committee has been given this assignment. It's not a task for the full PNB. This committee does the work, collects the information, processes it, produces a report, possibly also a minority report. I've seen that done too. And then reports to the PNB as a whole. The whole PNB does not receive all the raw data and then chew through it. That would be unmanageable. So I want to support. I think if I understand what Vanessa was saying, if I've got it right, then what she says is consistent with what I've experienced in the past and makes sense, so that we the work is internal to this committee and some of it even to the work group that will be given this assignment.
Okay. So I think I'd like to, we're going to take a poll here, or unless you want to call it a vote. And that the two choices are, number one, the information is given to everyone but the PMB, and then that information is given to the PMB, and that then the PMB evaluates and gives it to us. The other option is, I'm sorry,
you finished point of information.
Whose point of information?
This is Vanessa.
Vanessa, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So when you say the information, in terms of what we're voting on, the information being the raw data from the evaluation respondents, that's what you're referring to?
Right.
Yes. Okay.
We give the information either to everyone, including the PMB. That's one option. Everybody together. The second one is we give the information to everyone but the PNB. I don't know what you want to call that. The other players.
Who do you mean by everybody?
Okay, when I say everybody, I mean the 22 PNB directors, the GMs, the IGMs, the PDs, the council, the affiliate director, archives director, and the NEDA CFO. And they rate the performance, and we take that raw data and we create our report. That's everybody together. The other option is that I think that Mr. McFadden and Mr. Dingman are suggesting is that we gather the information from everyone but the PNB, and we give that information to the PNB, and they do their evaluation, and then it comes to us.
Let Jim go first. Go on.
James Thackerton?
Yeah.
Or James Thackerton?
McFadden.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Mr. McFadden.
Yeah, actually, that wasn't what I was suggesting.
Okay.
I was suggesting that I think what Beth, that we want to gather all this information, and then as a committee, we look at all this information, and we're the only ones that see all this information. You know,
okay.
You don't want that. You don't want the whole PNB seeing it. You don't want, and you know, just the people on this committee will see this. These written responses.
Okay.
So the handful of us read those, and then we write the evaluation, and we can use comments from them. You know, we can quote from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our written evaluation, which we then present to the PND. I think that's.
May I offer a point of information?
Yeah.
Is that
I was ahead of you.
Yes.
Okay. A point of information from Thackerton.
I just want to remind everybody, and from past experience, I've seen this in Pacifica. This information is confidential. It's personnel information. It's going to involve criticisms as well as praise. And two things. One is you have to keep that confidential. You can't just be releasing that to lots of people, and then we know how things find their way to the public, and that then is not only unfair, but it creates liability for Pacifica. And then the other thing is that we need to be careful in, especially in eliciting long form answers, which I agree are valuable. We should put some kind of a warning label on it for people not to identify themselves by the descriptions that they provide of incidents that they had with the given individual. You can identify yourself in describing something. That's all. Thank you.
Gender stack on this.
Who is that?
This is Dingman.
Dingman, I'm sorry, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah. I'd want to get all the information. I'd want to get the PNB members commenting, you know, all those different folks commenting. I'd also want to receive comments from the public in general. I mean, I want to see what they have to say, how they're perceiving what's going on at the executive level from Stephanie. I mean, I want as much information from all the different players as possible and as wide a swath of information coming in to synthesize into this committee. And yes, I agree with Jim. It should be, you know, should be kept confidential given the sensitive nature of some of it. But as much information as possible, including from the public, as to what they think is going on, what they think the evaluation of Ms. Wells' performance is. And, you know, and I think that should be thrown into the mix as well.
And Julie to the
staff. Does anyone want to second that proposal of Jim Dingman? I'm thinking it. This is my personal opinion. I'm going to step down as chair, but I think that it's great to have a survey and have everybody give input. I mean, unless somebody came in and said, well, you know, Stephanie's coming to work drunk, or you know, she did this and it was like, you know, she flashed me or something like that. I think there's so much information that you're trying to think that we're getting from the public that's not possible.
Excuse me. I want to offer a caution here that this is open session still.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It is.
Yes.
And
but what I'm saying is...
speculatively, but I would propose that we address the issues in terms of roles and not individuals, not name names.
Okay,
fine. All right. Very good.
Jim, are you really suggesting that the public...
We're going to get it anyway. I mean, I'm just saying we're going to get it anyway. And the more, you know, frankly, you know, people are going to, I mean, one puts their critical thinking cap on. One doesn't sit there if 20 people come in with one point of view. Oh, you want to get a wide variety of opinions, including all those you've mentioned, everybody's mentioned, in the mix. And where do you get the listener members commenting anyway? I mean, you know, I don't expect a huge deluge. I mean, it'll be a deluge, but, I think it has to be included in thinking about how they're perceiving the leadership of the foundation at this point in time.
I'm saying at this point, if you want to put that in the form of a motion, we'll talk about it. But I've kind of collected the names of the people that would be included in this formal evaluation, and that did not include the general public. So if you think that we need to, maybe we would bring this up at the next meeting, or that could be worked on separately, but I don't know.
No problem.
Okay, point of information, please.
Okay, who was point of information?
Vanessa.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
It's a kind of a combination. I have to host a work Zoom meeting at 6, so I'm starting that process now, so that's point of personal information. So I got to go in a couple of minutes. The other thing is in terms of the public evaluation, I'm not sure how we would do that. And we did discuss that at PFW in terms of community groups, you know, that the GM or the PD might interact with, people who have actual interaction, you know, with them in their role, you know, at the station. But the public, I am not sure how we do that.
Well, I think that Jim can maybe work on that, and if he has a proposal that we can vote on, then we can go from there. Okay, so...
Julie to the stack.
Who was that?
Julie.
Go ahead, Julie.
This will be really quick. I think the point is that when we send the instrument out to people to do their evaluation, I'd like to speak for sending it to everybody at the same time. Because otherwise, you are kind of making it easier for people to figure out whose responses that might be. Whereas if you send it out to everybody, and then this committee gets to look at it, as opposed to seeing a bucket of responses that are from GMs and PDs, and then a separate bucket that's from P&B directors, you know, it's going to be easier to figure out who's who, and that's not providing people with anonymity. So I think we want to do everything we can to, because we're going to get the best feedback if we really assure people that they're going to have anonymity. So do it all at once.
So let me ask you this. The two options are everybody gets the evaluation together, including the P&B directors and everyone else mentioned. The second option is everyone but the P&B does the evaluation, and that evaluation data is given to the P&B to see, and then they do their evaluation, which comes to us.